In the words of Meredith Marks, when it comes to that week, week and a half before my period, I wish I was disengaging. My PMS is off the charts. Truly, Uber Eats needs to check in and say, it's about that time, isn't it? I know it is. The cravings are crazy. I want to crawl out of my skin. Now it's easier to manage PMS with Estro Control. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony and Estro Control, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. For AGs who are friends of perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause, Happy Mammoth has Hormone Harmony. It's not just a supplement for women going through those stages, it's also become a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today. I'm engaging. I just came back from the salon, and for the record, I went with a sassy little bob and quiet luxury shade of blonde. Yes, that's literally what we're calling it, quiet luxury. Aside from trips to the salon, I don't actually blow out my hair. My hair is naturally wavy, and that's why I love Way. Way's new anti-frizz cream is a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. I know that I have a limited amount of time with wet, wavy hair in which to get myself in order. And that is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It has notes of bergamot, Italian lemon, violet, and more. And it smells unbelievable. Truly, as someone who is a little bit sensitive to scents, I put this in my hair and I feel great. It also genuinely pairs well with my perfume, which I appreciate. I don't blow out my hair because after years of color processing and attempting to make it straight, I know it looks better and stays healthier when I avoid blow drying, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. I've used products, especially with wavy hair, where it feels heavy and looks kind of wet. And that's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream, because it enhances the natural waves in my hair. I still look like me, just a little elevated. And P.S., I am way obsessed with Way's other bestsellers. Their leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, my personal favorite. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com with promo code Andy.
This app is a little fashionably late.
Don't tell Teddy.
I'm back from the dead, bitches, and I'm haunting housewives just like the ghosts of Bobby Zarin and Kim Richards.
Oh, no. Guys, it's Andy's Girls. I genuinely don't know what episode it is.
Like 52?
It's like 52, 53, 54. You guys, it's your favorite person. Just kidding. Am I your favorite person? I'm a national treasure, you guys.
I think you're a national treasure.
Thank you so much. I'm going to be on the little, what's it, the monument with the whatever with the faces? Rushmore. There was a Bravo.
Don't ask me. I just got Warren Buffett and Jimmy Buffett confused pre-show.
We did a little pre-game and we're like, what are words? Guys, it's Andy's Girls. I'm so glad to be here kikiing at our Shiva call with the OG of AG, senior digital producer at VH1. I got it right.
Thank you.
Damian Bellino. Damian, such a pleasure to have you. You look phenomenal, by the way. I love your top.
Thank you.
Where did you buy it?
It's actually from H&M. Before that was before it was like not into being in.
No, but now they're like racist.
Yeah, so like, but I found it in my closet, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna put it on.
Oh, it looks so cute.
Thank you.
So rest in peace, H&M, and also several
Bobby
people.
Bobby Zarin.
Guys, Bobby Zarin died this week. Feels like forever ago. Every day now is like.
Yeah, I think it was this week or the weekend. I don't remember.
Well, because you know Jews, it's
over the
like
weekend,
super quick.
So, yeah.
from deathbed to whatever, casket.
It really, really, like, I knew he wasn't well, but I don't know. My brain just wasn't, and I also, yeah, I don't know. My brain wasn't computing that, like, he was going to pass, and it's very sad.
I think it's because he had been sick when he relapsed again, and then when it was, like, spreading to vital organs. I think everyone knew that it was terminal. Like, they'd been pretty open about it, and kudos to them for being really open with their journey. But because I hadn't seen him in a while, I just kind of, and be, you know, and Jill Same. Would do, like, you know, her photos visiting wherever, and then, you know, the weird video thing when they sold the Hamptons house, which was kind of a mess. And I just never really thought, even though I, like, knew that it was terminal, I just never really thought he was going to pass, because I don't know. I have to tell you, hands down, best house husband in Real Housewives, any franchise, just from the fact, simple fact, that he supported his wife fully and also wasn't afraid to give her a little bit of counsel and a little bit of advice. And even though, you know, we all know that Jill Zarin is an imperfect person, she really found the perfect husband for her. And it's just kind of sad. It feels like the end of an era. It just, you know, and Luann posted a photo of them together, and Jill, who's, you know, all over Instagram all day long, hadn't really posted any photos of him, understanding that, you know, he's not the Bobby that he was, that we all grew to love on TV, didn't look the same. And Luann, like, posted a photo of him essentially on his deathbed, and they're cuddling, and you can see the love in her eyes and face, and it's super sweet, but, like, he did not look well. And I don't know how that works, like, how
I
those know, decisions
it's
are made.
Conflicting. Like, I remember, because I work at VH1, and and Big Ange died. And
oh, my God. I remember that.
And it was a really, I don't know, it was a, I don't know how to say it. Like, it was a very unique in place to be, because we had never, in my time there, lost somebody. And it wasn't, I mean, maybe people had passed that were sort of peripherally connected to the network or had been on a show like 10 years prior. But she was on a current show, and she was such a big star. She was probably, like, our biggest, like, mainstream star. Mm-hmm. This was, like, pre-Cardi B. And, I don't know. It was really upsetting. And then a lot of people, a lot of her, like, extended family who, like, I don't know how to say this, just, like, were
not,
you know,
made for TV,
or, like, maybe, like, wanted to be on television.
Oh, God.
So a lot of them shared photos of her, sort of her final days in the hospital, and, you know, places were picking it up, like People and Us. And it was just a hard place to, because you know that these people genuinely love this person. It's their family or their friend. And I saw that picture of Luann, and, like, my instinct wasn't like, oh, this is so gross, but it is a weird sadness, because it's like, that's not. And then people were commenting, like, this isn't, like, why would you post this? And I was like, really? Like, it feels like not a place to tell someone, like, I don't know.
Right, because we don't have an actual relationship with him. And Luann really did. And if you look at her face in that photo, it's like, she looks so lovingly, you know, she's, like, embracing him in a way where it felt very, very intimate. And maybe that's where people were like, A, did you have his permission? Was he in, like, a place where he could give permission for you to post this on, you know, a thriving Instagram page with a ton of followers? It's not like it's a private page. And I don't know what else I was going to say about that, but, like, you know, was that a permission? And also, you know, why are you sharing this, like, super, super intimate moment? I don't know.
I think that it's just also the age we live in, where people feel like they almost, like, she feels like, because I guess, I don't know if she's in rehab or what her situation
is
currently.
Yeah, did she go to the funeral? I don't think she did.
No, so I presume that she's, like, away. That was my assumption, because I figured if she was in New York, she would have been there, because I feel like she, her and Dorinda are the women who, like, have the most, like, relationships with Luann. So I mean,
with Jill and Ramona.
Yeah, but I thought they had a falling out.
Well, we'll get into that in a minute. But
so,
yeah,
I think that sometimes in the age of, like, social media, people think that if they don't post, if she doesn't acknowledge that Bobby has passed, then you know what I mean. Then people are going to say, like,
right,
you know. So it's like, I know,
it's a lose lose.
It's a lose lose sort of situation. And I have to say that the whole thing, like, I feel like once I shake off this weird sadness, because it does kind of feel sobering to talk about Bobby's passing.
We got to talk about it, you guys.
I am going to be, like, funny about, like, production and and what they were thinking about his death and all of those things and what that meant for the show this season.
Laugh Factory.
But there is a thing, like, there is a level of, like, it's like babies. Like, you can't plan a death. So this is real life. And so, like, all of those women, like Kelly Bensimone and Aviva and Sonia and Ramona and Bethany going, it's like, I don't know. There are people that I don't keep in touch with that I don't really want to see. But like, if there something happened, like if they died, I would probably go to their funeral to pay her my respect. So like, the fact that Bethany was there, and the fact that like Kelly Ben Simone and Sonia, it's like they weren't. I want to think that none of them were doing it for the cameras. Like Sonia and Ramona, maybe like there's like a part of them that is delusional that like wanted to be like showed there for the press. But I don't know. I don't think that genuinely like people aren't terrible. I mean, I'm like Anne Frank. I like to believe in the good in people.
Love it. Siggy would really love
that. I'm really going on a rant here about Bobby Zarin.
So here's a question. So Bobby Zarin dies. I texted 100,000 people. So I got into a whole text thing with a friend of mine. She's like, Bethany's going to go to the funeral. And I said, 100% Bethany Frankel is not going to that funeral because Bethany Frankel doesn't want the attention on herself and might not feel comfortable with seeing Jill at that point after this many years at the funeral of her husband, while understanding that a huge part of season 3 was like, you only sent him flowers and whatever, and he had a procedure and I didn't tell you anything, but you didn't like care enough to like be there, even though I didn't tell you what to be there for. So I genuinely didn't think it was going to happen. So then these photos go up on the Daily Mail of all the housewives at the funeral and Bethany Frankel at the funeral. And not only is Bethany Frankel at the funeral, but Bravo production is at the funeral, shooting the funeral for what, as you have said, will be an epic season 10 of New York Housewives. So that immediately I was like, holy fucking shit.
If I'm a producer on that show, I'm like, okay, so basically I got what I needed for to make, like, I feel like Atlanta, they made such an effort to be like, okay, Kim's back and Nene's right. back and Lisa Wu is like a guest and like, and Marlo's back and they were, and that obviously wasn't going to happen for New York because of Jill. Like, they couldn't get a return to the originals because
Bethany would never allow
because
it.
Bethany would never be on the same show as Jill. Right. And like, the one thing happened where I sort of think that sometimes you can say like, fuck, this person was like my best friend for like 2 years and they were two very like important years of my professional life.
Yeah.
Do I swallow my pride, you know?
Right.
But then there is like this weird like layer of like, well, the cameras are rolling, so like, is it genuine?
Why
the whole thing feels weird.
It feels super weird. I have to tell you guys, I'm super into it in the sense that, like, not into his death, obviously, rest in peace, but like, super. I'm super into it as a viewer because I know I'm not counting down the minutes until when New York comes back so I can see this fucking epic reunion that they're going to tease every single minute of the day.
Yeah, it's going to be towards the end of the season.
Yeah, it's going to be like it's going to be like some sort of extra special. It's going to be a spinoff, like this 5 second moment. And I'm super into it. But I also think like, okay, so they're super Jewish, obviously. So like you have the funeral 45 minutes after the death. I mean, it's like within a day or two, you know, like it's just part of Jewish tradition.
And
I should know.
And forgive my naivete.
My rabbi's going to yell at me.
But so like in a situation like this where Jill probably knew he was like he was terminal.
Yeah, you probably.
Like, would she have arrangements probably like sort of preset a lot of
things? I don't know that you would like preset them, but I think she probably knew. I mean, it's also New York, so like I don't think it was at the Kaufman, but it was at some other like fabulous temple. Like she knew, you know, you can arrange it.
She like knew what, she probably had some things in place just.
Right. I think she and not in a shitty way in any way, but like what's going to happen. But then I also think like, so Bravo production doesn't know that he's dying necessarily or in his final moments necessarily. How does that conversation take place? Like, who contacts Jill or Jill's people and says, so sorry, I'm so sorry for your loss. Also, I would love to grieve with you as well as like 6 or 7 members of our team and some cameras. Like, who reaches out and says, like, where can I make a donation in Bobby's name? And also, I'm sending you a release to sign. Like, how does that work?
Can I express something to you that, like, I feel gross even thinking about?
Please do.
But
it's
I wonder if there was someone in an office with, like, a whiteboard who was like,
who's up next?
Like, who was making a crass joke and was like, hey, Sarah, you know what could make this season fucking really good?
If Bobby dies. And then Jill kills him so she can be back on camera.
And we get Jill and Bethany to, like, be on camera together and, like, talk. And then that happened and they were like, oh my God. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and they had like a direct line, like a friend of, or like somebody like Luann or Ramona shot with Jill a scene or something.
Oh,
and they had a direct line of saying like, Bobby's not doing well. And it was like, and And I wonder if a producer said to Bethany, like, I wonder if Bethany filmed with Bobby and or Bobby and Jill prior as like a mea culpa, like, mm-mm. You don't think so.
No,
you,
I think it literally, first... too, yeah, 100%. But Jill's not going to, Bethany's not going to go anywhere near that shit. It was 100% the death. And then she allegedly took like a private plane from wherever as soon as she heard. She also supplied Skinny Girl wine for the Shiva. For a Shiva and Andy
Cohen.
How
did you know that?
Because it was on BravoTV.com. I have the link ready to go. Damian Molino.
Good woman.
She, right. No, please, you can do girl. Hashtag me too. So Andy sent a platter of snacks from New York's Barney Greengrass.
He didn't want to go there because he didn't want to break the fourth wall by being there. Because he knew it was filming. That's my guess. I'm guessing this.
But he's shown up.
Because he like never goes to weddings and things either.
But he showed up a couple seasons ago to that weird Beverly Hills shoot in the Hamptons with his dog and took a photo for Instagram. The thing that Jill wanted to go to and they wouldn't let her in.
But he wasn't in the episode, was he?
Yeah, but he doesn't need to be in the episode.
True.
But he can still attend.
You're right.
There were probably a bajillion people there. I mean, Bobby was beloved. Like, think of all the fabric people.
Who wasn't there that you're surprised? I mean, maybe somebody other, some of these people
I mean,
were.
Alex lives in Australia. No one
Cindy
surprises
Barshop? Because aren't they, like, kind of tight? Like, wasn't Jill her and Tron? I forget that season.
I mean, and she lost that whole Vajazzle company, like, went to bankruptcy or got sold or
I'm
something.
I'm surprised other housewives weren't there because they are thirsty for attention and they would, and, like, Jill invites everyone to everything.
Well, speaking of thirsty,
Marisol was there.
Marisol was there and Danielle Staub was there for absolutely no reason whatsoever. And I hate that woman, which we will get to. I hate that woman with a passion and it made no sense for her to be there. Okay, here's who was there. Dorinda, Sonia, Bethany Ovs, Aviva, Kelly Cloran, Ben Simone, Danielle. I assume Ramona.
Ramona was there, I believe.
Yeah, Ramona was there. I saw those photos. And she said, you know, Jill told somebody that Ramona has been incredible. She texts me. She emails me. She showed up at the hospital. She received flowers from Vicky, who knows a thing or two about cancer. And she said that Melissa Gorga sent her an email.
What is this all from?
From the Daily Dish.
Oh, so this is official.
Shout out to our friend.
Shout out to our friends at the Daily Dish.
They've covered Annie's Girls before.
Is this... Oh, this is very interesting.
Yeah. Jill said, it was very surreal to walk in and have all these people around me. People I hadn't seen in 20 years showed up. People flew in as far away as Ghana, Florida, California. Sound funny, you guys. Chicago. Stop laughing. Chicago all over the place. They all dropped what they were doing and they came. And that is so sweet and really important. It's just the fact that she went from Ghana to Florida that gets me for a little bit.
It's also just like, it's also like weird. I mean, I get it. He was a public figure and she's a public figure. So, like, I get that. But then there's also, like, this weird part of it. It's just, like, make one statement and, like, peace out, you know? And I do appreciate that she sort of, like, made the announcement on her, like, on her website and, like, did peace out, I guess, for a minute. But then it was filming for a reality show. So, I don't know. I think that this really does up New York's game because I was like, kind of not that enthused about its return because they hadn't added a new housewife, from what I've heard.
But they've added several complications for Luann de la D'Agostino de la Seps again.
True. So I guess, like, Luann has a big storyline, and now I feel like there's a Jill and Bethany reunion.
I mean, I wonder how long that reunion took place, because they probably talked for, like, 2 minutes, right? Like, Bethany obviously looks sort of anguished and super emotional. Jill looks anguished and super emotional. You know what? I wonder, this is just... wishing for everything, but maybe you couldn't get Bethany in a room with Jill forever. She would never film with her. Bobby dies. Maybe the game changes. Maybe what you referenced a couple episodes back, when you were like, here's what would change the game for season 10 if Jill came back, and I was like, it will never happen. Maybe what's actually happening,
they listen to our podcast,
is that they listen to our podcast. Shout out to Bobby Zarin, who would love this, by the way, because he wanted his wife to be happy, and nothing would make Jill happier than being back on TV. Seriously, I'm being serious.
No,
I don't mean that in a bad way,
no,
but it's true. You know it's true.
It's gross.
She's super desperate. God bless. We all are.
Like, they're all gross. Like, they all want to be on television. Like,
of
that,
course.
And that's what, like, I know I've seen so many, like, mean comments about, like, Jill's so thirsty. She's so desperate. And it's like, okay. But also, like... Nene and Bethany are super rich or super famous or whatever and, like, still want to be on the show. So, like, everybody, like, once they get a taste of it, it's like they don't know how to not be relevant.
BCC like Lisa Rinna. Like, yeah,
there are BCC like Lisa Vanderpump. It's like, you can be as rich and fabulous as you want, but, like, you still need that, like, you still need that TV time to
forward to Kim Richards. Maybe not BCC.
We'll get to Kim Richards in a minute, because I have things to say about Kim Richards.
Can't wait. But I do think that this is, like, maybe the moment. Like, maybe this will propel, or maybe Bethany will be like, no, that was a day, that was a moment. I made my piece. It wasn't about Jill and me. It was about Bobby, which I would understand. But maybe also, this will be the way to get Jill back, maybe in a cameo, like maybe a cameo plus, extended cameo plus. Like, I don't know if I see her fully as a friend of.
But, like, more than Lisa wooing, but, like, maybe Shamia-ing in the in season.
She could totally Shamia the fuck out of it.
She could also hang out with the housewives that are not Bethany and Carol and, like, Tinsley. You know what I mean? She could hang out with Ramona and Sonia.
Right. And she, like, and Ramona would, like, hug each other and cry, and then 30 seconds later they're fucking screaming their asses off. I love when they're, like, screechy little cats. Like, I think that's really great.
I think, like, this kind of the only other people I can imagine like this is sort of, like, it's like if Lisa Vanderpump and Brandy Glanville, like,
died. Oh.
Like, if they had a saint. Like, that's, like, I can't imagine Brandy ever coming back to Housewives of Beverly Hills unless something tragic happened where, like, she and Lisa and like, they had to, like, be like, oh my god, this is bigger than, like, a fight on reality television.
Literally no funeral, no death, not Ken, not a dog would lead to Lisa Vanderpump.
You would have said that a week or two ago about Bethany and Jill, though.
I 100%. I did the second Bobby died. I was like, there's not a single chance. I couldn't believe it.
But part of me also feels like Bethany, as a business person, thought she had to do this.
She sent Skinny Girl Wine in the shiver.
Yeah, okay. So there's a lot to unpack,
guys,
and I'm very excited to see it.
And Andy Cohen gave Bobby Zarin the mazel of the week, which was sort of weird, and I still, guys, don't understand why I didn't go, but to the funeral. But we should give Bobby, just shout out to Bobby Zarin as we wrap up this episode. No, just kidding.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Bye. But just shout out to Bobby Z, who I genuinely can't say enough, aside from, like, you know, Mauricio without a shirt on. Just Bobby was just really...
Patty Stanger was there also, I think.
I hate Patty Stanger with a burning passion.
Oh, yeah, me too. But I'm very into that show. I'm sad that I got moved off Bravo and don't know where it is anymore.
Guys, shout out to Bobby Zarin and also, I guess, Marisol Patton. rest in peace to both of you. How's Mama Elsa doing, by the way? Not well. I think she's very sick. I think she's very ill. All right, guys. This is a real offer. So on that note.
So let's move on to...
another show.
Should we move on to Housewives of Atlanta, which I felt like Atlanta is my favorite, and I think that it has been a slow build this season. Like, NeNe is, like, super not into being on the show anymore, obviously. Like, that's why she left. But, like, she's just, like, really phoning in, and, like, I don't care about her and Portia's drama. And then Kim Zolciak showed up this week, and it was like somebody was like, hey, the show's boring. What do you want to do?
Help us.
And she was like, I don't know. I don't want to be involved with, I don't care about these bitches. Like, they're not my friends. And then they were like, cool, we'll give you, like, an extra 5 G's.
Right.
And she was like, great. And then she was like, Candy ate me out. NeNe's on pills. I'm going to be in a fight with the psychic. Cynthia, you're pretty. Shut the fuck up. Like, she literally just insulted everybody. When she told Cynthia, she was like, stop talking. I was like, she's wasted. She was like, stop talking. Just be pretty.
But she
and I
wasn't
was like,
wasted. She was sober. Croy was bringing her pizza.
But she also came in with, like, holding a red Solo cup.
But that's, I mean, what's in there? It's like seltzer and lime at this point.
I mean, it was just so wild. And, like, I was annoyed with her in the episode at NeNe's party because I felt like her drama with Kenya
was so weird.
So staged so insincere.
Yeah.
But this stuff felt like just more messy. And it felt like everybody has been sort of resistant to being messy and, like, talking about people. And so she just came on and she was like, I'll talk about everybody.
So here's the thing with NeNe is I thought that NeNe super phoned it in last season. This season,
she
I think
on
she...
last season.
Yes, she was.
No.
Yes,
last
she
season was.
Was
the season that, like, was Candy and Phaedra, no NeNe. The season before that, it was her as a friend of, she came to Jamaica and was, like, funny.
Oh, season right. Before, okay. That so, was season her last, before... like, full... so season before last season, she was super phoning it in. I feel like this season she's trying a little bit. Like, she's at least, she seems to be enjoying herself in some spots. This whole, like, the whole elephant party thing, I was like,
I mean,
first
I was
off,
into
you guys
the elephant
don't...
party. It was ridiculous.
I sort of died for that medium because that medium 100% would let Candy lick her whatever, wherever.
Oh my, that was so cool.
She was, like, literally, like, super business and really cold and kind of a dick to everyone. And then Candy walks in and she's like, you light up my life.
It was so cool because she, like, didn't know. She wasn't playing, like, the reality TV game, so, like,
she was playing, like, that if you annoy me I will,
so she was, like, really mad when Kim was being disrespectful, and
100%.
Then all, and, like, just being generally, like, she got, they also like made fun of her with that whole handshake thing. It was great. It was so
funny. She was super shady when she was like, I'm going to like, will you take a bath? I'm going to like get some branches outside. I was genuinely dying. And then she just quit. She was like, I'm done. Like you like fucking suck. Like it's over now. I couldn't believe it.
It was such a good episode of television.
It was a genuinely terrific episode of television. So here's a question for you before we talk about it a little bit more. Does Kenya quit next week? Because what the medium said to her was like, you're not long for this, but you're not going to die like Bobby Zarin. You're going to continue to live on, but maybe you're not going to be on the show. And then the teaser for next week is like Kenya in a fucking bathroom being like, peace out. And Portia looking super confused.
It did seem like Kenya quit. And I told you, I heard someone doesn't go on the trip or quits on a trip or something. And I thought it was Portia. I thought Portia like got fired when they went on a vacation or something. But maybe it's Kenya, because I kind of feel like she is not here for Kim because she thinks that Kim is just there for like a paycheck, basically being paid to cause drama.
With her specifically.
And now I guess like to Nene as well. But then I also think she just feels like in order to like protect her marriage.
Is he worth it? Is he worth, literally she has built herself she's making a decent check on Atlanta. She's worked her ass off to be a huge dick or villain or whatever, like Omarosa style, so that she has the scepter, the props, being super shady. Like, she's done some bad
shit.
She just
feels like she's outgrown it.
No, there's no chance. You think with like Kenya Moore hair that like, really, like that's her. She married a guy who owns a couple of restaurants. Like, I know he used to work in finance, but he owns like a restaurant in Brooklyn, which I'm sure is terrific. And I can't wait to visit it and have like an ice water per my medical diet. But like, Kenya's all about like more manner and like being a strong woman and making terrible decisions like Matt and others.
I kind of think Walter. I think that she's over it. Like, I felt like, that was the first thing I thought when that psychic said that, when she said, "You, this is not your destiny, like you won't be here long." I was like, "Oh, like Kenya's gonna quit," and then really? that showed that sneak. So I don't know. I don't know. But that also, they also might know that that's what the audience is thinking. So they're just trying to like throw us for one.
I also think that there are times when Atlanta, I mean, like last week with everything that domestic violence related and 50 Cent's mom and Shamia and these really heart tugging moments. And I feel like Atlanta will go where no other season, no other franchise truly will. When they like talk about these issues, they really go all in, and it was just kind of amazing and brave to see that captured in certain ways. And then also just juxtapose that with, they have made some of the fucking worst relationship choices. Kenya certainly has, with Matt, who is like Looney Tunes crazy psycho villain. And now she, by charade this season, is with this guy in federal prison who's going to be away for like maybe a week, but also maybe 10 years, and threatens Nene in the teaser for next week. He's like, she shouldn't be saying anything or whatever. And then it's like a shot of Sheree looking either horrified or maybe turned on. I like couldn't really tell. But it's kind of interesting to me that, you know, to watch this all play out and watch these women who are so successful in so many ways make really bad choices in their personal life and then see that play out. Like, Tyrone seems like maybe not a great guy. And I also kind of wonder genuinely how long they were dating before he was arrested or indicted or whatever. And what's actually going to happen. I mean, the 50 Cent's boyfriend, whatever the fuck his name is, who's off like stripping prostitutes in Brazil. He's cute. But like, I do agree with that medium that like, he's not great. And he might be a little bit of, you know, a guy who's there for screen time and whatever else, which Candy referenced. I mean, Candy's made by far the best relationship choice with her fellow little person, which I think is terrific. And they have that cute little ace, and, you know, they have a thriving business that they essentially run together, seemingly, and an empire with Old Lady Gang and everything else. And even that was called into question by Kim this week when she's like accusing Candy of saying that Candy wanted to lick her box or whatever. I got super confused by what she was saying. And then I read a conversation that Kim had, because you know how they don't do, they don't really do blogs on Atlanta. It's just like the producer asked some questions and they answer.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah. So she did one where she's like, Candy. It's like Candy. It was, she was essentially like gaslighting Candy a little bit, but like that it was Candy's fault that she said that, because Candy like took it the wrong way and she would never mean exactly what she said on camera that was shown to millions of people. Like that she didn't actually mean that Candy wanted to lick her box. She was like meaning something else about boxes. It was all very strange. Guys, visit bravotv.com and explain to me what I read, because I don't know, hashtag neurosymptoms. Like I didn't understand what was going on. But it's kind of just kind of interesting to me to see that little dichotomy of like they're talking about, I don't know if it's a dichotomy, but they're talking about issues about like physical violence, and they talk about health stuff, and they talk about crazy fractured families with Kenyas, and then compare it with you know, the really bad choices that they make, that a lot of women and a lot of people make, where they don't hold themselves to a really high standard. And just like watching that on TV week to week, it's just really, I wouldn't call it inspiring, but it's really interesting and dynamic. It's real, guys. It's like there's real stuff that happens on RHOA that doesn't happen, I don't think, currently on any other Housewives franchise. I don't know.
The OC can get real. Like all the David and Shannon stuff is real. Like that, in general, Vicky's life. Like her
Vicky
mom
being
died,
duplicitous her, is real. Vicky being a liar is real. Yeah, like Brooke's taking advantage of her is 100% real. And how many people do that when they see someone who they think is a person of wealth and they want to take advantage? I mean, like, I think watching that play out and her having her not be anywhere near as intelligent as I thought she was or easily manipulated is fascinating.
I think that the difference maybe, and I don't know, like the thing that I think you're orbiting is maybe that, like, I think that Beverly Hills and New York, the drama becomes like what who said to whom behind whose back and what happens at like events, right, opposed to like what everyone has in their own life and how open up about that to the women.
Right.
And I think Atlanta that happens, that's happening at least now. And I think that OC that happens sometimes, at least with Shannon and Vicky, where like they make mistakes in their own life.
And
then,
Tamara.
And then they're held accountable for that,
right,
with the other women, Tamara, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that that's what's interesting. Like, I feel like the Beverly Hills, it's like the fight, the drama is that like Dorit is physically late to an appointment, opposed to like anybody like Dorit being like, guys, I'm claiming bankruptcy. Help my friends. Can you offer me advice? Like, how do I get out of this situation? You know,
100%. I think it's, I don't know.
I don't know. I think that there has been real stuff on Beverly Hills also, right? Like Taylor's life and Camille's life. Like those things happened.
Well, that's also why I thought it was really interesting when you talk about how domestic violence and issues of abuse or crazy manipulative relationships played out just as an echo chamber in my head in the last 45 seconds of Beverly Hills this week, when Lisa Rinna was like, you guys, I heard some really great gossip that like maybe Ken beat the shit out of a woman, or like maybe he yelled at her, but like let's pretend it's like physical assault. And I'm thinking like, bitch, like first off, weird gossip to talk about. Like you once again do like the juiciest, darkest, shittiest thing you possibly can, but like appreciate it a little bit, even though I know it's 100% false. And two, this is the franchise where there was an on-camera spur of the moment intervention started by Saint Camille of Grammar, nay Donatachi, now Donatachi again, soon to be whatever that gentleman
David.
Lawyer David, whatever his last name is, which I do not know and never will learn. But I just was kind of interesting to me, because I'm like, she is super ignorant in that moment, thinking that that's going to be shady gossip, and you're with OGs of the BH at that table who remember what happened with Taylor. So when you talk about a man being potentially physically violent, albeit not to a direct cast member on the show, and these women have sat through on and off camera conversations about Taylor's now deceased husband kicking the shit out of her, I thought that was a strange choice for her to make. I understand it because she heard something negative about Lisa's beloved and wanted to bring that up to embarrass her and have it be a plot point. And I suppose kudos to her for like thinking about it and saying, and Lisa Rinna has no bottom. So she will talk about that stuff because she wants screen time and she wants to provide some plot and whatever. I don't begrudge her for it. I just thought it was like especially strange.
That's a really interesting point.
Thank you so much.
I hadn't even thought
you.
About it.
Oh my God, guys. Shout out to
me. And who was there? It was Kyle and Camille were both there. It was Kyle, Camille, and Teddy.
it was Kyle, Camille, and Teddy. And Teddy's face was like, what did I just sign up for? And Camille was like, what just happened? And Kyle was like, absolutely fucking not. He would never do that. Because, by the way, he would never do that. And, you know, I don't want to be...
Wait, why are you defending him, though? Like, I'm just saying...
Oh, no,
like,
wait. Did I do the reverse of me, too?
I'm just confused, though. Like, I mean...
We don't know.
Like, I mean, I thought it was interesting. Like, Kyle did that, obviously, like, because she's
friends with him.
With, but I thought it was interesting her instinct was like, he would never. And I was like...
Would he never?
I don't know. The difference is that Kyle obviously has a relationship with... It's just... And I get it. The Lisa Rinna is sort of like a garbage trash can of a person. But I also, like, it is interesting to, like... I'm not, like, trying to call you out. I just think it's interesting to question, I don't know. Someone obviously filed a claim and like, it's,
but we don't know if they actually did. Because Lisa Rinna was like, he assaulted her, meaning like maybe he yelled at her and raised her voice,
or
maybe
threw
he like
against a wall. And it was like, it is interesting.
Like, what did Radar Online explicitly say?
And all the things you said are really interesting about like, she didn't even like think, I mean, maybe she did think about the, she's also the person who brought up cocaine. Like she really doesn't see, it seems like there with these women, often there are things that are off the table.
Yeah.
And then it seems like with Lisa Rinna, though, she doesn't feel like that.
Speaking of things that are off the table, so I don't know why, but that was one of my favorite moments just because I thought it was totally insane. And I could see like the shining light in Lisa Rinna's eyes because she was so happy to talk about maybe this woman being potentially physically assaulted. But the other amazing moment to me was when I like wrote a little note to myself was when Kyle was saying that calling out someone's belligerent, drunken behavior was a bad thing. Because why? She was like referencing her sister and it's like, sweetie, like the problem with Kim, aside from several problems about Kim, related to Kim, is that none of you guys just buried it in the ground with a shovel, but there was still an obviously problematic issue that you in the back of a limo season one finally addressed, which is your sister is an alcoholic, has relapsed for however long, perhaps a majority of her adult life, and it is apparent and obvious to everyone. And what Camille was saying was Dorit was a drunk hot mess. And I don't know that she was going so far as saying it was alcohol addiction, but she was saying that she couldn't control herself when she was drunk. And it's like, roll the camera. We saw what actually happened. Dorit had too much to drink and is a slob and dies for attention, which I think she would be sober, as we've seen.
I think that that's Kyle's hang-ups about what it means to be like an alcoholic or an addict. It's like
versus an enabler. She's saying everybody enable.
But she's also saying like, how could you say that about Dorit? And it's like, you didn't defend your own sister. Like in more recent seasons, I feel like you went from hiding her sobriety to then like letting her sobriety become a plot point. You know what I mean?
But now you're
sort of like coming to Dorit's defense as like, don't suggest that she's an alcoholic. And it's like, I feel like it comes with along with the shame that they probably lived with pre-show when they were like, didn't talk about.
Right.
Kim's
God forbid you put a label to the illness.
Exactly. So I think that that was like, oh my God, God forbid you bring up that Dorit like drank too much because it insinuates. She just doesn't want to. Kyle thinks that she knows how to play this game. She thinks she's as good as Bethany. She's not.
She's not. And she has some real.
And it drives her crazy that Lisa Vanderpump is better at it than her. And that's why they have their treaty. Because she agrees that she won't come for Lisa Vanderpump because she knows that Lisa Vanderpump is smarter and can do it better than she can. And that's what it's like. That's why this episode bothered me because Kyle had that moment where she's like confiding in Dorit about her sisters not being happy for the success
because of
her,
American Woman,
and her selling her shows and like, and then it was about, you know, Mauricio working for Kathy. And I was like, fucking A, like let Kathy and Kim be on the show then, but like, stop using your sisters as plot point. I need you to be more interesting. Cause all it's like, she just does the same thing every season. She brings them into it, always mostly Kim, but like brings them into it and then sort of is like a surprise when the other women want to come for her sisters. And it's like, well, of course, because, and I don't know. It just frustrates me that like her sisters are characters in the world of it, of the show. It's like, Dorit's not like, oh, my sister in Connecticut is doing this. That's not a plot point, but because Kyle's sisters are public figures.
But it's also a Hollywood thing too. Like, it's very, very different when it's like talking about
a
family business.
It just drives me crazy because I just want Kyle to be more interesting than relying on her sister's drama to be the thing. Like, they're not on the show to defend themselves or to tell their side of the story. So it feels, it's like the most interesting people on the show who are creating drama that aren't on it, you know?
I totally get it, but I don't know that I agree. Because I don't know why, but like, I sort of die to hear about Kathy Hilton.
I love it too, but I just want Kathy to be on it to call Kyle out on being, stop being a wounded
but
bird.
Kathy,
you're not 8 years old
the
anymore.
The few times that Kathy has been on, she seems to be a super, super passive aggressive personality. She's not going to be the type to call out Kyle on camera. I think they save that for like their screaming matches on the phone or maybe just ignoring
each
other.
I just think that Kyle loves it because being on the show because she feels like a princess
and she gets power
and she gets to basically
and she gets a voice
she gets a voice on national television
she gets to write the narrative of the relationship
but then
with her
the
sisters.
Other two sisters are get to be like, cool, you just rang us out in like, you know, like we'll ream you out behind closed doors, but you just are going to go do it on national television, you know what I mean? Like, she doesn't know how to have a voice with them in conversations, and then she goes on television and does it, and that seems really cowardly to me.
Well, maybe that's like the plot of one of the shows that she sold.
I totally hear what you're saying. It's like, I am into the Hollywood stuff and I'm totally into hearing about Kathy Hilton because I feel like she's sort of an anomaly.
Right.
But I'm not into, like, I want her to, like, I don't think it's fair unless there's a payoff, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's fair to hear about it and then Kyle's like, on Watch What Happens Live, and she's like, it's a Kathy. And it's like, you're not giving the audience closure to the conflict.
Poor Kyle. Kyle's had a bad week. Kyle lost, like, all of her diamonds.
That was sad.
That was sad because, like, all of her Birkins. Like, I'm so sorry.
And all the jewelry her mom passed down.
I don't
really
care so much about that. I only care really about the Birkins. Also, that ring of her mother's that she wears every day, that, like, longer ring, I hate. I just think it's terrible. I think it's super gaudy. Maybe she was wearing it. Maybe she was wearing it when they went skiing or whatever. But also, I guess this means that they ended up moving to a new house because I assume it was at the new house that this happened.
Yeah, it seems
They hadn't, like, had their security stuff on, but her housekeeper was there.
Yeah, sleeping.
Maybe the housekeeper was in on it. Maybe this is like an Ocean's 14 or something. I don't know. I'm just really sad about this purses because I use like tote bags. It's my
same.
My Birkin is a cotton
tote bag with like cat hair on it.
I literally had a meeting today, you guys, with someone who had a Birkin, and I was like, I don't.
Did you smell it?
I didn't, but I stared at it. I was kind of confused by it. Like, if you saw an alien, you were like, oh my God, it exists. It's like here. I was 100% into it. So, do we think that Camille will be full-time next season? Oh, wait, no. What were you going to say? I was just going to talk about Camille forever.
Oh, well, actually, one of the things I wanted to say is about Camille, which is that the way I was watching that scene with
Camille, Teddy, and Kyle? No.
No, with Dorit and
the dinner.
And everybody.
Yeah.
The big dinner where Dorit got drunk and then was like out of, seemingly unprovoked and like out of nowhere was like, Camille, you're a fucking
stupid
C.
Yeah,
I was like, wait, where did that come from? And then I was like, is this how Camille was sort of like promoted to, that was 2 weeks ago, right? That was like the catalyst for this week's episode.
Exactly right.
Like I was trying to figure out like, is that how Camille became, like went from being sort of like, passively a guest, because she's been a guest for like the last two or three seasons. Like, she shows up to like
she cameos
dinners and parties.
Yeah, she cameos more than Adrian Malouf, but she's there.
And
yeah,
I was like, is that like what got her bumped up? Because
that one moment,
because Dorit made her a plot point, or was it like already in the works and then Dorit just like happened to target her? Because I feel like she's sort of passively been in the last, like the first two or three episodes, and then suddenly now she's like around. And I was like, well, is that because they were like, well, now we have to like followed Camille.
I don't know that she would have gone to Vegas had she not already been.
But Adrian was there.
Oh shit. Interesting. I don't know. Does she owe this amazing promotion to Dorit Kensley?
I'm into Camille, and like I'm just into like her
CCPK.
I'm into her Hollywood connection. I'm into her wealth. I'm into like her second chance at love. Like, I'm all into all of that. But I just was wondering, like, did Dorit make it happen? And like, Dorit and Lisa Rinna are both like the worst. But also, like, I'm grateful for them
because
they're making stuff happen. Like, Erica Jane is like really fun and fabulous, but like, she doesn't not good at making drama happen.
No, because she's like a super no bullshit. Like, which I can appreciate in many ways, and I know that but it's like part of her brand that she's like straightforward and whatever
and
direct.
I find her to be troubling. I don't want to say problematic because I think that's a buzzword, but like
that's my favorite word.
Her
by the way.
Like I troubling or
a problematic. I say it like every 45 seconds.
She like her like I don't know how to be friends with women. I'm used to gay guys, so I'm like, hey bitch, and it's like I'm not into women who don't know how to be friends with women. I always find that to be like a red flag.
100%.
So when she said that, I was like, don't say that. And also don't use like gay men as your out. Cause like,
they're not an accessory.
Yeah. They're not an accessory. So like, I don't want to like, I'm not like trying to be like, I'm not an accessory. Cause like that is part of it. But also like, I'm not into women who are like, I'm like the only like people I'm friends with are like gay guys or like straight guys that I like drink beer and watch sports with. Like, I'm not into that type of woman because I think it's just a way of putting women down. And so like, I don't, Erica, you're not above the bullshit by not engaging in drama, but then like, but then calling, like kind of saying you can't maintain, like these women want me to text them. And it's like, well, if you're friends with them, then you should want to engage with them. Like, again, you know what show you signed up for. She and Teddy need to, like, get in on the program. Like, Erica's been on for 3 seasons. Like, you know the show you signed up for. It's about being friends with women.
Tell me everything about Teddy.
So I have been on the, like, I was on the fence about
I hated her at first.
Teddy, because I was just like, oh, I don't, like, know. She's sort of, she's seemingly, like, nonplussed by Hollywood and money and says she doesn't have a lot of money from her dad. And, like, I don't know what's true and what's not. She has a fake job. So, like, I think that she has money. Because she has a job that's not real.
And I don't think her husband works.
Or he's like a trainer or same, no, maybe that's he has the same okay, type great. Of job. Actually, perfect. No, I think he does have a business. I like searched him on like Bustle or something that had like, who is Teddy's husband?
And five fast facts.
I forget it now.
Do you think he's attractive before you say your point? I think he's terribly unattractive.
In certain angles, I felt like...
No, I think he looks like a werewolf.
There's like a weird like moon face that I'm kind of into.
He looks like Dracula.
But then I think other times he looks ugly.
Yeah.
But I've realized that I think that she might be a good fit because I think she's sort of an archetype that Beverly Hills doesn't have, which is sort of like a Heather Thompson, which is like, what are you like, Dorit? Like, it's sort of like you need a Dorit to be awful and annoying so that you can have somebody like a Heather Thompson, like, or a, remember when Heather Thompson and Sonya got in a fight about
The toaster box?
No, Sonya making everybody wait in the foyer.
Oh my God, I love that on the way to Atlantic City.
And it's like,
she continued it in the limo.
And I feel like Teddy is sort of like that, where she's like, Dorit, it was an hour. Like, we were set up by production to meet. I have like an email, and I also like, and Dorit's just like, no, you're making it. It's like, I like that Teddy is sort of the Greek chorus, like, because Beverly Hills doesn't really have that because everybody is so rich and ridiculous that, like, Erica Jane and Lisa Vanderpump, they are absurd. Even if they are, like, the cool ones, they're also absurd. And Teddy is sort of regular in a way that is, like, she's sort of like Eileen with a little bit more, like, spring in her step.
Do you miss Eileen at all? I find that I don't. I'm surprised by. I find that I don't now because I feel like Teddy has grown
A little bit. Unexpectedly. But I did like the way Eileen fought because I thought that she was really intentional with her words and really deliberate in the and her actions. I didn't think she like did stuff for production, and I didn't think that she involved herself in things that she didn't stand by in like the real world. She wasn't like doing stuff to push plot. She was like, I'll stick up for Lisa Rinna, or she'll be like, this is Lisa Rinna's battle, not mine. So I do like that about her, but I don't find myself missing her.
Right.
And I hope that Teddy, and I don't know, that's interesting. Maybe Teddy sort of does fill that void in some way because she's sort of like, I have money, but like, I'm modest. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like Eileen had money, but like, she had money in a way that was like not real money in Beverly Hills.
Speaking of not real money in Beverly Hills, that moment a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, where Dorit goes to Nordstrom Rack or whatever and buys $18,000 worth of serveware, like plates from Hermes, and that moment where PK comes downstairs and he doesn't look like that is put on. It looks like Dorit is putting on a performance for the cameraman in her kitchen of like, what's a plate anyway? Like, there are people coming over for dinner. I need to get some plasticware. And then it turns out it's nearly $20,000 from Hermes. And he comes downstairs and he's like, what did you buy? Oh, just like whatever. How much did it cost? I don't know. I don't know what an individual plate is because it's a set. I mean, that was actually a moment which stood out for me.
Where he was like, what are you doing with our money?
What are you doing with our money? What are you doing with the small shekels that are left of our money? Because allegedly they're selling their house now. The house that they've shown this season is being redone or whatever, but it's not actually theirs. And Mauricio is the listing.
They weren't really renovating. They were renting and they had to move.
The owner of the house where they were renting decided to renovate. So they called ass to Miami for however long, came back, and now the owner allegedly, guys, I didn't Google this. So somebody fact check me and like tweet me or whatever, let me know. But allegedly they are renting, not owning, and the owner decided to renovate, and the owner has decided to sell, and Mauricio is the listing agent on the home.
Allegedly. So this will either come up at the end of the season,
or nobody will talk about it because Bravo will want to pretend that these people have money until the absolute last minute, until they're served eviction notices on camera. Shout out to OC. I mean, like, I don't know. I don't know what's...
Who has pretended like they have money? Let's just real quick. I don't want to, like, take too much of it. Just like, I mean,
The Bangle, who I just referenced. What's her face?
Oh, I don't know. OC. The Bangle. Like 100 seasons.
On OC.
I haven't watched that.
Okay.
Many.
The Bangle on OC. Sonia.
Yeah, but
anyone on New Jersey.
Sonia's is such a fabulous story that there's such a great story behind it.
Sure.
And she still has that fabulous townhouse, which
is
inside.
And she Uber pools.
I love that so much. She's so absurd. She is such a delight for television.
I die for her. Yeah, she's classic. Okay, so who else pretends that they have money? Almost anyone on Atlanta, including Nene, who continued. I think Nene's most recent home is something that she purchased, but she had been renting, and there were rumors that production was renting on her behalf to provide housing. Anybody else in Atlanta, aside from Candy, your boo? Anybody on New Jersey?
But you think,
Siggy and Margaret.
I mean, Atlanta, I feel like Atlanta and maybe OC and certainly New Jersey, like your buck goes like further than.
Yes, than in Beverly Hills.
So like, I feel like
New
everybody,
York.
I would think that like that Portia and Cynthia like really own their homes and that they. And that they probably, like, if that's... I don't know. Maybe that's not true.
I think Cynthia does, because we saw it. We saw her purchase it. I don't think Portia does.
I also don't think production is, like, paying to rent their places. Like, I think they would do that for some people, but not, like, Cynthia.
Yeah, I think Portia's making an investment by, like, renting a ginormous home that she does not need for any purpose whatsoever except to look, like, super, super bougie plus on the show that she's filming. I mean, who else pretend? Beverly Hills allegedly... Well, not even allegedly. Taylor pretended that she had money and she didn't. Kyle never pretended when... Kyle had like a little bit of wealth when she started, and then, you know, the agency happened and now she's like popping. Obviously Dorit has no money. Dorit
where did
has
Kim
50 cents.
Live in her like when in her what was her most recent house prior to like becoming a friend of like when they would actually show
Kim
her
Richards
home? Yes,
a variety of different rentals a la Brandy had no money but was open about it.
I know. I
Kim
like
Richards
was
never
charming
had money.
That was what was charming about Brandy initially.
Yeah, it was that she was like, I'm struggling. I bought my dad a car. I'm struggling. I'm leasing a super expensive car now because I came into money from this.
I do have a soft spot for Brandy, but you know, that's not neither here nor there.
I don't think she'll ever step foot anywhere near anything
I don't
related
think
to Bravo.
So. I mean, it would literally have to be like 10 years from now.
LVP would like never allow it. LVP, who may or may not be on Housewives at that point, but will continue to be on Vanderpump Rules, which is, by the way, having a fucking record-breaking season. Yeah, every really episode, excellent. I'm like dying. I did also think it was kind of funny. I felt like some of Dorit's shit when she's like, I wasn't late. I was totally on time. Plus, like, whatever. Was very similar to what Jax was doing with Brittany this episode, where they're like essentially gaslighting whomever. Jax is doing it to Brittany.
Oh, I didn't see Monday's episode yet.
Oh God,
sorry.
You're gonna die. It's so good. Jax is essentially gaslighting Brittany and saying like, it's your fault I cheated because, oh, spoiler alert, it's your fault I cheated because you're talking about it and that is really upsetting and hurts my feelings and like, why would you do that? Where he like essentially blames her for his misbehavior. And Dorit is doing that with Teddy, where Dorit's having a conversation with Kyle and she's saying, it's her fault for like talking about it. She shouldn't even be talking about it with you. And I was 6 minutes late, when it's like, sweetie, you were 54 minutes late. Now, did production tell her 4:30 instead of 4 to fuck with her? Or is Dorit actually that spoiled and pretentious where she doesn't think that other people's time matters? I actually think the latter. I don't think it was a production move. I think that Dorit was really genuinely that late because she doesn't give a shit, and maybe she was doing it for a power position. It doesn't really matter, but either way, it was kind of obnoxious.
It is weird that it is a plot point.
It's weird that it's a plot point, but also I'm one of those people, not in my personal life, but in my professional life, where if you don't show for a meeting, and it happens so infrequently, but I'm a consultant, so I take my time very, very seriously. I don't know why that has anything to do with me being a consultant, but sure, let's run with it. Where if you are late for something, or if I am late for something, rather, I'll take responsibility for it. I feel like it shows that I could potentially be unprofessional. I think you have to take people's time really seriously. And our new friend, Teddy, feels the same way. And, you know, she's a fake accountability coach, but I actually really understand that perspective, which is like, you do not respect me enough to make good use of my time. And also, I'm filming the show. This is a new job. And I have my nanny stay. Like, I am paying to have this filming opportunity take place, and you don't even fucking show up. So what's the chance that they're going to use any of this? They're going to use you calling me on camera potentially in the app, but like this actual moment is lost. Like, I think that's really shitty. And I think it says a lot about Dorit and her like weird fake accent and the fact that she had a meltdown at the LVP magazine shoot, which I still genuinely don't understand. Like, what was the problem? The photos were bad. Yeah, it's a shitty magazine. Like, what were you expecting? You're in a magazine and you're nothing. Like, what are you actually expecting? Why are you being a diva to Lisa Vanderpump, the queen of divas? Genuinely, I'm not saying that like she's the best person in America, but I'm saying that like LVP knows a diamond, knows a gem. Sure, the beauty team wasn't like the best, but also be a little grateful. It shows the people we, Damien and I had a little conversation before we started where we were like kicking about celebrities. And I do genuinely think that the more famous a person is, in some areas, the easier they are to work with because they're confident, they understand that they're good, and they're not going to fuck up your time because they know that it's a business and it's work. Dorit is the exact opposite. Dorit is super needy. Dorit wants to be on camera. Dorit wants to be a show. Dorit thinks she's a star because her husband is a music manager and has told her such. Like, Dorit got on the show and was immediately like, I am Madonna. So when she has these moments, it's like, shut the fuck up.
But I mean,
like,
you're being such a dick. I'm into it.
Be appreciative. Because it's great.
I'm into her. Like, she wears fashion and like is ridiculous. Like, she's so over the top. Like, I mean, so does Erica Jane. Like, I think that Dorit happens to have better style, but like,
Dorit wore like a sports tank under Gucci.
It's still
like,
ridiculous.
What is happening? What
so
is happening with that cami?
Anyway, that's all I have to say about Beverly Hills. Like, I'm optimistic this will be a good season, but like, I also can't tell because like the plot point is like that someone was late.
I am in no way optimistic that this is going to be like a record phenomenal season in the sense that like the big moment from the teaser is like LVP driving away pretending to cry and like that look Tarina Kyle's face
so
of like,
you're so right.
I that is like the biggest moment where like,
but
the valet
trailer will really get us. Remember that, like, I remember the couple of seasons ago Atlanta was
from
sort
the junk. Oh,
there was like a crappy Atlanta. There was like it was like a mediocre Atlanta season, but then the mid-season trailer was like
phenomenal.
Everybody talking about Kim Fields' husband being gay, and I was like, what is happening? Like, that was a real left turn.
Guys, Atlanta this week, I have to say, like, just changed. I didn't know what I have felt a little weird about some of the eps like the last couple weeks, and I was super into this week of Atlanta, so I like really have to give a shout out to Atlanta because it changed my perspective. I'm super into, shout out to Atlanta, shout out to Vanderpump Rules, which we don't really talk about, and shout out to Married to Medicine, which we almost never do, because they are restoring my faith in the quality that can happen when people really like come together to destroy their
to
own lives for
TV.
The betterment of my eyeballs.
Just, I know that we've been doing this for like 2 hours. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's a 4-hour episode. Shout out, somebody sent me a something wanting a 2-hour episode just strictly about the photo of the funeral of Jill and Bethany, and I'm so happy that we were able to provide that to one of our listeners. Oh, wait, before we talk about Jersey, can I talk about myself for just one more second? Guys, I'm so appreciative that you reach out to me on social media when I like remember how to check it to ask for additional episodes, and I think that's really great, and or to ask for like timely episodes. I did have someone tweet me that they I forget what they said, I've already forgotten, but they tweeted me like, because, you know, guys, it really does genuinely mean a lot to me. And this is like a part-time hobby that Damien and I do. And like, we love to do it because this is like our life's journey. And like, you know, it's so important to us. Like, this is our like magical moment is like kikiing about Housewives. And, you know, I so love doing it. It means a lot. And the one way that you can like bring me a little bit of joy is to like make a little iTunes review or whatever. And a listener reached out and was like, I would give you 5. It's my favorite podcast. That was super sweet. She genuinely, she or he, I think it was a she, or whomever, whatever. Love it. God is love. Was like, I would give you 5 stars, but your episodes are infrequent, so I'm giving you 2.
Well, they did not come to play.
So, guys, this is my make-a-wish as I continue a medical journey, which is, can you please write an iTunes review? It takes 2 seconds. I have expensive-ish, not really. No, but seriously, super expensive audio equipment.
It's very fancy.
It is very fancy that we're staring at it on my bed. Damien and I are spooning. It would just mean a lot to me if you and to Damien and to the world and to America, make America iTunes review again. Just leave us a little love. That's all I have to say. That was like a very long, it's continuing what will be an 8-hour episode of Andy's Girls this week.
Well, I don't think we have a lot to talk about left, except just like real briefly, Jersey. Which, like, I don't know.
They deserve the very least of our energy and
time.
Has it
died?
it's died and there's a Shiva.
It's just like,
and I could make an oven joke, but I won't. I'm a Jew. I have no bottom. I have no bottom.
Like the fact that, like, I'm glad that Kim D is at the reunion only because I know that she, like, nobody gets.
You're glad that the Crypt Keeper.
It's just, and it's like also like somebody wrote that line for Teresa to remember.
100%.
And then she said it, and Kim D like knew that, and Kim was like, "Good job, Teresa. So funny." And I was like, I don't know. Maybe I'm into Kim D. Because, like, she's at least making this interesting. Like, I still really like Siggy. And I thought Melissa said a really interesting thing on Watch What Happens Live, I think, last Wednesday, maybe. Which was, like, someone said, like, oh, I heard that Siggy said she's quitting. And, you know, have you talked to her since? And Melissa was like, I have. Like, we're in touch. And I think Siggy's great. I just think she's, like, couldn't do the show anymore. She couldn't do – like, she couldn't handle not having control. And I think that's so – it was such, like, an accurate, salient point, which was, like – Siggy is works for herself, whatever her job is, her fake job, her made up job. She's a personality. She's been doing the thing. She was already in the public eye in some way.
Yeah, she was on Wendy Williams a lot, which is not, that's a big show. Yeah, I'm being totally serious.
And Wendy Williams like told her not to do it.
Right.
And I think.
Oh, right. Did tell her not to do it.
And I think that like it just, she couldn't handle that. It was out. And I think that she thought that people liked her so much last season. And when I don't want to say Margaret betrayed her, but like it is weird when the person you like the whole circumstances is just strange. Like Margaret was her the person who brought her. She brought Margaret on. Margaret didn't really betray her, but sort of excluded her and then hung out with her friends. And Siggy felt some way about that. And then it's like leaned very hard into this like anti-Margaret thing. And then like, and I don't know. And then it just became hard to like buy that it was sincere.
She leaned in and then her leaning in turned to actual hate and rage.
And then she actually started to like, I think, have some sort of meltdown because she felt like she was hurting her image and she couldn't repair it because it had already been done and it was filmed.
And then she felt like her image changed from being a relationship expert to calling out someone else, what she thought was, and what she, I think, was misconstruing as someone else's bullshit and rage without recognizing and being self-aware, which ideally, you know, that would be a quality one should have if one is an expert in relationships and people. The fact that she has been so deaf, dumb, and blind to the narrative. I don't know. I die for Siggy in many ways, but I think that this season broke her, and I totally 100% agree with you, and I think that she felt like she was in a power position 100% by introducing Margaret to the group, even if it was an extra, because you know, like, production's going to comment and be like, do you know this person or whatever?
Teddy and Dorit were like not, were like, that was, they're now they're at odds, and that was
right. It doesn't mean anything. It's like a line in a play. It doesn't actually mean anything.
Totally.
And it doesn't give Siggy producer credit to say it. Now, Siggy has said some stuff publicly about how all you see are my reactions. You don't see the other stuff. And she has said publicly that she thinks she's getting the bitch edit. And she said that there's a lot of other stuff and that other cast members aren't defending her because they're being fed that by like producers that favor them or whatever. And you know what? There might be some truth there, but ultimately Siggy made a decision to say that Margaret was anti-Semitic, which was a really bad move. She made a decision to sort of humiliate Melissa at that weird party in front of all of her friends. She made a decision to talk about a half plastic cake that somehow cost $1,100 or probably was free. I don't understand that whole thing in Florida, calling that out and just being deeply, deeply sensitive toward anything that Margaret would say in her direction that she did not feel when anyone else was saying anything except for maybe Melissa. It was strange to me.
I also think that Siggy feels regret. I mean, I don't think she's regretful for doing the show. And I think that
entirely or this season,
but maybe entirely.
Maybe because, entirely. You know, because last season led to this one.
Exactly. And I think that she feels like that must be a weird place to be. Cause I feel like she was such a self-assured person. That was part of her job is being self-actualized and being a relationship.
It was her shtick.
But like her friends, like Wendy Williams, and also clearly based on his his infrequent appearances and his, you know,
Michael Campanella.
Her husband was not, I don't think was into her being on the show either. And so I feel like now she's sort of eating. What is that? Eat your words.
Eating shit.
Like, oh, eat your words with a fork and spoon. Like she has to sort of like deal with the fact that like maybe she was advised by some people close to her like not to do it, and she was like, no, it's good for my brand, it's good for my business, and now it
backfired.
And I don't know, I do like, I don't think she's awful, I just think that she literally it broke her and she's having a mental breakdown, and like the reunion last night is, she's not helping herself. Like, she's not doing a better job redeeming herself at the reunion.
And she genuinely, it felt like she was self-imploding. And I was hoping for a little bit of self-reflection. And all that happened was that she doubled down. And it was just genuinely super sad to me. It was sad to me in the way that I'm like, why are you continuing to make this choice that is so uninformed from a smart person perspective? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm sad. I'm sad because I feel like Sikki added something different.
And Sikki and Dolores together. Now Dolores, she's bringing down and you know, I die for Dolores, but she's bringing down Dolores a little, in the sense that Dolores feels like she needs to defend Sikki in many ways and also acknowledge a little bit about like the reality of what's going down. But, and it happens in such a way where it's like Dolores can stand on her own already, but she's tied to this and it's just so negative and toxic. Like what Sikki is presenting is super toxic. And I'm not saying that Margaret hasn't said some shit, she absolutely has, but that's also what you signed up for. You signed up to be shady and sassy and whatever. And at least Margaret came in and is doing something. Now, do I think that Margaret didn't invite them to the weird beachside wreath thing because she was being shady? I mean, I really don't know. I don't know how you go up to a concierge at a hotel and you're like, do you have a wreath made of flowers?
Like, Sikki was right. Like, you don't just do that. But then she said she got, and I was like, what?
I mean, I think because she was afraid of saying, like, a producer handed it to me. And so she's like, a concierge, like, that doesn't make sense. There's some stuff that Siggy's bringing up where genuinely it doesn't make sense. I don't think that Margaret is the person to blame. I think it's probably production in those moments, like, where she's being helped a little bit to, like, have these wonderful moments. But I just, it honestly, like, watching the reunion made me sad because I was like, this is so terrible. First off, Jersey just continues. It's like deep dive into like being absolutely nothing.
I think it went from being the one that was about family. I mean, aside from the Richard sisters, it was the only other show that had, it was about like a core, and it was the women were
sister-in-law, cousin.
The women were either like family connected or like
family friends
or like childhood friends. And I think that like they have that in Dolores sort of, but I don't know what that's like. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You and me went to college together, but like we didn't know each other then. But like theoretically, we've known each other for 15 years.
Right. So and we also have a lot of friends in common.
Yes.
Yeah.
So like maybe that's like Dolores and Therese. Like I don't know. Or if it's like they've been like best friends for 20 years, you know?
Yeah.
That I can't figure out. I think if Jersey continues like,
Kill me.
Like they felt like this season started off good because I was like, oh good, there's drama that isn't all centered around Teresa.
Yeah.
The problem with that is that Teresa and Melissa then were like cool with everybody basically. Like, and then it was boring because Teresa is a star because she's sort of an imbecile and like no one got her except Kim D to act, to do anything. And I don't know. I think that Jersey needs some fresh blood. I think actually what it needs is sort of like a modern, like college educated Italian American woman, a woman who stayed in New Jersey for like her family, but isn't like old school. Because I feel like a lot of what that is like, it just all breeds this sort of same ignorance and like violence. And it doesn't like the brand, like they're not elevating the franchise by the new people they're bringing in. Like, and I thought Sikki did that, but now I feel like it's devolved.
Right.
So it's like,
we broke Sikki. America broke Sikki.
Yeah. Like they need somebody like who's not going to, who, when they start fighting in an Italian restaurant, like they're just going to be like, boom, I'm leaving and I'm not actually going to go to any of the other events the rest of this weekend because like that is not unacceptable.
And Bravo TV needs to listen to this episode and take your advice because I think it's super well said. And I think what they did this season was just double down on bullshit by bringing back Danielle, except they didn't get the Danielle of yesteryear. They got new Danielle, which is scared straight about being fired from a show where she's just coming back now and just wants to pretend and play like she's like love and light, new person. And she's really genuinely diabolical, but knows enough to know I don't want to reveal that right now because then I won't be able to come back next season, whatever capacity. And I do have to say that I love that moment where Andy's like, or where Melissa's like, I never understood why people didn't like Danielle, which I was like, shut the fuck up. I don't know why you're saying
that. It's this weird agreement that they've all made.
Right. It's this weird agreement that they've all made. And Teresa doesn't actually, when you're talking about people and relationships and how crucial that is in New Jersey. And when Andy's like, why didn't you like Danielle? And she's like, you know what? I don't actually remember. And it's like, sweetie, remember Dina? Remember your daughter's godmother? You don't remember that this woman that you're sitting on this couch with was a fucking cunt to your very, very best friend of 100,000 years, and Caroline Manzo when you were cool, and fucking Jacqueline when you were cool? You don't remember the fucking war that took place that you participated in? It wasn't just because she said, pay attention, please. It was because there was a whole series of events that took place on and off camera where Danielle was being diabolical and was trying to ruin Dina's life and like custody with Lexi and everything. Like, you don't remember any of that? If I was Dina Manzo and I was watching the show, which I can guarantee you she was 100% not doing, I would be like, ring, ring, ring. Teresa, remember me? Because I think you forgot. Like, how do you not remember these extremely important moments that affected your friends who you said you were your family because your family and you didn't get along?
It becomes this whole weird, like, poison to what, which, because I was thinking about that and I was getting angry and I was thinking if I was Dina and I was watching, which you're right, I don't think she was.
She wasn't. She was in child's pose.
But if she heard about it.
Yeah. She's all peace and love.
Then she's like, ugh. Like, it's your name. It's your, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's your reputation. That's your name. That's your family. Like, you're still a public figure-ish. And then it makes people want to come back and be like, defend themselves. You know what I mean? And then they're like, no, this is a monster. Like it's like you go back to defend yourself and then you get wrapped up in new bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, she goes back to say, like, Teresa, what are you doing? Why are you friends with Danielle? And Teresa's like, I don't know. Like, and then it's like, and then it's just like an awful cycle. Like, I would love it if Dina came back to like.
Dina will never come back. Dina came back and like the twins and the whatever, and it was a fucking mess.
That was the worst.
That was the worst season of all time.
Just, I don't remember. I don't think I watched season one of Jersey. Refresh my memory. How?
That's when Teresa is like, so Teresa her bubbies.
And Jacqueline are best friends.
Yes.
And Jacqueline is married to Caroline and Dina's brother.
Correct.
And how was? But Dina and was Dina also best friends with Teresa and Jacqueline, or just Teresa?
Dina had some issues with Jacqueline, just like Jacqueline had some issues with Caroline a long time ago.
Got it. And yeah. Then how was Danielle connected?
She was just introduced.
So she was
because
like,
she was a casual or new friend of Jacqueline, and their friendship deepened, which was a point of contention between Jacqueline and her sisters-in-law. Because they were like, why are you friends with her? And she was like, I don't know. We're just like good friends and whatever. And then because she had already had weird tension with Caroline and Dina separately, I think it came to a head where, you know, when there was a certain point where Jacqueline was defending Danielle over her family, which was magical to watch on TV because it was like fucking tense. And then it turned by the end of the season one reunion when Jacqueline was super pregnant, was like about to give birth any second. Then it was like, no, you're like a dick to Danielle. That's when she turned against Danielle. And then it was like nevermore. And now everyone's pretending that none of that happened because I don't know, like love and light, whatever, blah, blah, blah. We don't really care. We just want to get our check and call it a day. And we're not willing to play dirty. And we'll overlook the years and years of drama with Danielle Staub because what? I don't know, because everything's cool, because there are bigger things to worry about because of like Joe maybe going to Italy or whatever to stomp on grapes over there. Like, I don't know what there is to say, except if you're going to bring back Danielle, which I will never, ever support, then something should happen. Genuinely, this is a woman that brings armed guards to recording. Like, she has no bottom. She's just afraid of revealing herself like a snake with new skin. She's growing new skin. And if you give her the opportunity, she will fuck over absolutely everyone that she's pretending is a good friend. But right now she's just not quite ready. She's like a caterpillar, like give her another season so that she can be a butterfly and fly away and probably murder all these people in their sleep. Like, it's just dumb. It's just dumb and stupid. And that's where I am. I think, and my headphones are falling off. I think that Jersey is a hot mess. And I just think it's terrible and needs to go away. I think it's dying. I think the last time we had a conversation on AG just a couple weeks ago, we talked about how Jersey was dead and needed to be put down. And I don't know that they can recast it. I think that there would be a riot from like the five remaining tree huggers. Genuinely, there are people that are devoted to Teresa throughout all of these years and feel connected to her because of everything that's happened in her life and her crazy crazy like relationship and time in the clink. And now Joe. Like, I don't know that they can fully recast it, but they need to make major changes. I would love to see a modern New Jersey woman. I don't know. Chris Christie is, no longer governor. Maybe his wife is available. Patty Joe or whatever the fuck her name is. Like, I don't know. Not that she is the person, but like, surely there is someone smart, but also dumb enough to want to be a part of this who we can appreciate in a different way. And maybe that will force Teresa and Melissa to be on their A game more. I doubt
like,
it.
You need like a Bethany of New Jersey, Like,
you do need a Bethany.
There's nobody there who's like they all think they're smart. But they all know they're not smart. Like, that's the thing. It's like,
they don't care.
They don't care, but they need somebody who, like, they actually listen to. And it's like, it can't be like a Dorinda because she'll just play with the way they play, opposed right. to Ella. Like, I feel like you need a Bethany to be like, what are you doing? I'm not doing this. And, like, walk away. And, like, I don't know. You need somebody who's like that, who's or like a Heather Thompson or a Teddy.
They need someone to hold them accountable, you guys, for like $55 an hour. Damien, I die for you.
I live for you.
Thank you. Is there anything that we missed that we need to say? Any closing thoughts? Did you have sex at Gorga's Italian restaurant this week? Did you have yourself a spicy meatball?
I got permission in the bath for the bathroom.
The grossest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. And also, I've like read those Yelp reviews.
It was just like, you're disgusting. That's disgusting. And I'm a...
And also Ziggy. Ziggy was like, that is fucking terrible. And in that moment, I agree with my Sigalite. Guys.
I'm excited for Potomac to come back, to be honest. I need Jersey to go off the air.
Can't wait. And I look forward to Atlanta continuing for hopefully 30 or 45 more episodes this season. Lord knows they make enough.
Gosh, Kim really did a good job. I'm really proud of her.
Kim really did do a
good
job.
I'm going to also make a statement, which is that I don't think that Kim did as right, and I'm 100% Team Candy. I just appreciate good television.
Okay, I love it. Well, guys, let us all lick a box. And I hope you enjoyed what felt like a double, triple episode. We started a new thing I'm looking on my recorder because we went over, which I'm super into. Such a pleasure. Damien, I die for you. I love you forever.
Rest in peace, Bobby Zarin. Thanks for having me.
Rest in peace, Bobby Zarin. Thank you for having us as incredibly crucial parts of your lives. And I will do a Shiva call and lay a single white flower, or maybe red. I don't know what his favorite color was. Green, I don't know. Blue, chocolate brown. I will lay a rose outside of Zarin Fabrics on Orchard Street downtown because I did Yelp it. And they were closed on Monday. I went to their website and they were closed in honor of his funeral or whatever until like... you know, celebrate his life. And Bobby Zarin, we do celebrate your life. And guys, I love you. Can't wait to talk to you next weekish, maybe the week after. You know how I roll. Damien, thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Being here in my bedroom. Okay, bye guys. Have a good night. Can't wait to talk to you. Oh, follow Damien on at Damien Bellino and his Twitter, his Instagram, which is also Damien Bellino. And send me a message so I know who you are before I add you on anything. Dame Galley on Instagram and my name Sarah Galley on Twitter. See what I'm doing, guys? I'm like trying to be like a person who goes online. I'm such a pro. I'm a pro like Danielle Staub is with her fiance. Okay, guys. Married 19 times. Bye. Engaged. Whatever. Toodles.